The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus came on a Sabbath to eat a meal in the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they observed him closely. He went on to address a parable to the guests, noticing how they were trying to get the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding party, do not sit in the place of honor in case some greater dignitary has been invited. Then the host might come and say to you, "Make room for this man," and you would have to proceed shamefacedly to the lowest place. What you should do when you have been invited is to go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the host approaches you, he may say, "My friend, come up higher." This will win you the esteem of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. He said to the one who had invited him, "Whenever you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or wealthy neighbors. They might invite you in return and thus repay you. No, when you have a reception, invite beggars and the crippled, the lame and the blind. You should be pleased that they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the just." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, I think we're all saddened by the death of sisters Paula Merrill and Margaret Held in Durant. And we pray for them especially and ask the Lord to bless them for the wonderful work they've done for such a long time up in Durant and Lexington. We pray the Lord will be very kind and gracious to them, and also ask the Lord to give them the rest that they need. And this past week also, your former pastor, Father Brian Carroll, had the distinction of becoming Resident of the Month at the Cove at St. Catherine Village. And for the occasion, we had a little lunch one day, and of course he was called upon to say something. Took him a while, but he got up and he did that old thing, you know, that he's done so often, you've probably seen it. You know, he has that song that I think his grandfather taught him when he was a kid, and then he does the Irish jig, you know, along with that. Well, it was slow, but he did it very well, and you might, when next time you see Father Carroll, why, tell him you're very proud of him for being the Resident of the Month. So, and today we read in the book of Sirach, "My child." He's talking to all these little kids. "My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the greater you are, and you will find favor with God." I think we've all seen that recent overused and worn out TV ad used during the Olympics about that man trying to pole vault unsuccessfully across the pool, and using one of those long handled pool sweepers, you know, to get the stuff off the bottom of the pool. And he crash landed on the table side of the pool there. Well, his wife's sitting there with another lady, and she sees her husband grab the pole, and he's going to do the same dumb thing. And she says, "Oh, that's my husband." And I guess we all know quite well how to humble ourselves, making a fool of ourselves. And I think that, I don't know what the ad was for, I think it might have been for farmer's insurance. But anyhow, the man didn't do a very good job. But there are also great men who do dumb things, at least in the view of some people. King David, in the book First Chronicles, he was overcome with the Lord and the Ark of the Covenant, which signified the presence of the Lord with the people of Israel. And the author has this to say about the very dignified King David welcoming the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. It happened when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, David's wife, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and celebrating, and she despised him in her heart. Not a nice thing for a wife to do. Yes, even King David humbled himself. And in 2 Samuel, we read, when David went home, he had to go home, when David went home to bless his own house, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How well the king of Israel has honored himself today, exposing himself to the view of those slave girls of his followers, as a commoner might expose himself." But David said to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, as the Lord lives, who chose me over your father and all his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. Not only will I make merry before the Lord, but I will demean myself even more. I will be lowly in your eyes, but in the eyes of those slave girls you spoke of, I will be somebody." And it ends up, Saul's daughter, Michal, David's wife, was childless to the day she died. Now, you can go on YouTube and you find, just to put in there, you know, "Dance Like King David." And they have about 5 versions of it. And there is David, you know, kind of scantily clothed, and he's dancing around, bringing the ark into the temple. And his wife, Michal, is in the background, scowling, not very happy about this. And, well, you know, humble yourself, and the more greater you are, and you will find favor with God. Now, the next story, somebody said that after last minute, is this really true? It's a true story. It's about my nephew, Rick. He was never embarrassed. He was kind of a guy that liked a good time, you know. Well, his wife, Nancy, died after a long bout with cancer. But before she died, she told Rick that he should not be alone. He should marry one of their mutual friends who had lost her husband a few years earlier. So after Nancy died, Rick did as his wife advised him to do. And both Rick and his wife-to-be, Barbara, had about 4 children apiece. And at the wedding, at the prayer of the faithful, the children all came up, and they had a vial of different colored sand, and they poured that sand in a big bowl, and about 8 of them came up. And it was kind of a sign of the melded family. They're all melted together, going to live together now. And that, I had never seen that done before. It was very, very beautifully done. And that, at the very end of the wedding, there was the usual introduction of Mr. and Mrs. Richard Phillips. There was a kiss, and then they turned to proceed down the aisle, and suddenly the bride kicked off her shoes. And there they were, the two of them, Rick and Barbara, well into their 50s, and they proceeded to skip down the aisle like a couple of kids. I'd never seen that before either. And that was not planned. Well, that was Rick, you know, and everybody appreciated his dance of joy. His new wife, Barbara, was not like Michal. She enjoyed it all. Yes, humble yourself. The more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. And When he hosted a high-ranking guests, the former U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt, you know, Teddy the Rough Rider, he was fond of taking them on an evening walk on the grounds of the White House, and inevitably he would turn skyward and point, he said, "That's the spiral galaxy Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of the 100 million galaxies. It is 2,500,000 light years away. It consists of 100 billion stars, many larger than our own." Then after a brief silence, Roosevelt would grin and say, "Now I think we're all small enough. Let's go in." And Roosevelt in this story was aware that in order for people to work together effectively and for truth to prevail, they needed a certain perspective regarding their position in the grand scheme of things. He realized that self-importance or lack of truthfulness, we call humility, militates against personal growth and interpersonal exchanges. I guess we see enough of that in our present time. There's a humor website maintained by a group of people in Maryland. It also suggests that we can gain a healthy and humble perspective, not by gazing up to the stars, but by looking carefully at ourselves in the mirror. You probably heard this, you know. At age 3, the site says, a girl looks at herself and sees a queen. At age 8, she looks and sees Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty. At 15, she sees herself as chubby, pimply, ugly, and unable to go to school looking like that. At 20, she is too thin, too fat, too short, too tall, but she goes to class anyway. At 30, she still sees herself as too fat, too thin, etc., but decides she doesn't have time to fix it, so she goes out anyway. At 40, she still sees all the problems, but she says, at least I'm healthy and clean, and she goes on ahead. At 50, she looks at herself and says, well, that's me, and goes wherever she chooses. At 60, she looks at herself and realizes that some people can't even see themselves in the mirror anymore. She goes out and enjoys life. At 70, she looks at herself and sees wisdom and laughter and ability and goes out with a grateful heart. At 80, that's where I am, she doesn't bother to look at all. She just puts on a purple hat and goes out to enjoy the companionship of others. And maybe suggest that humor group from Emmitsburg, we should all grab that purple hat a little earlier in life. But today's gospel, you know, has Jesus coming to dinner. He's an invited guest. And, you know, I don't know how many second invitations he got because he told the man, you know, oh, you ought to be inviting the crippled and the lame and all that. Well, that didn't go down very well with him, I'm sure. And he also pointed out there are people there looking for the first places, you know, and he said, well, you know, don't sit in the front seats. Somebody more important. Well, I mean, don't sit in the back seats. That's a choice seat in church. But, take the lowest place and, the host will come in and say, well, you know, take it. You deserve a better place, you know. But, you know, I guess Jesus probably got a few second invitations to those dinner parties, but he always had something to tell us, and he tells us, you know, about, well, we ought to be a little bit humble. And we humble ourselves a lot of times by doing foolish things, you know. You know, in a football game, slugging somebody, you know, and you shouldn't do that. But, you know, we do dumb things, and we come to church, and every time we come, we say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. And at the communion time, we say, Lord, I'm not worthy, and we're really not. You know, this weekend, we had two feast days. The Feast of St. Monica was on Saturday, mother of St. Augustine, and then today is the feast of St. Augustine himself, a very humble man. And, you know, St. Monica, she had a difficult husband. She prayed for him all of her life, and he finally was converted. And she had a son that was really bad. He had a child out of wedlock, and he was a pious boy, so he called that son Adeodatus, given by God. Imagine that. But anyhow, he later on wrote those beautiful Confessions of St. Augustine, in which he tells the story of his conversion, how God finally found him, and he followed him very carefully, and God was always looking for him, he said, and he finally found him. And what a beautiful story that is about St. Monica, though, praying for a son and a husband and being successful. I think we all do a little praying for each other. But, St. Augustine wrote many sermons also. One of them is in the office today. You know, God came to suffer and die for people who were bad, not for the good. And he does that. And he also said that for those who would learn God's ways, humility is the first thing, humility is the second thing, and humility is the third thing. And he learned that by leading a life that was way out there, then coming back. And a great reminder, you know, we go through life sometimes. I know when I was a kid, I always thought I wanted to be like somebody else. You know, ever have that? Well, somebody else is better than I would like to be like them. And then finally, the day came when I said, well, I'm all I got. There ain't no more. I'm not going to get any more. So I guess I'm going to like myself the way I am. And that's when you get there, life is more comfortable. And you just say, okay, that's the way it is. And so I hope that, you know, we don't wait until we're 80 years old like that woman to put on that purple hat and go out loving God for all the good things he's placed in her life. And maybe with a bit of luck, we might even learn how to dance like David danced before the Ark of the Covenant. I hope this recorded. Father Hurley is checking up on me.